Welcome, listeners, to Powerful Poetry with Dr. Michelle Mitchell Faust and the students of Brookings Harbor High School. Thank you for listening.
I'm Brianna App.
I'm Josie Vital.
And today we have Dr. Faust with us. We're going to be asking a few questions about her books, Monsterverse and Dead and Undead. So to you, Dr. Faust.
Thank you. I'm Michelle Mitchell Faust, and I'm the editor of Monsterverse and Dead and Undead Poems, together with Tony Barnstone, who isn't with us today.
All right, so I wanted to start with a couple questions for you. For in Dead and Undead, My Childhood, which was one of the poems, nightmares unfolded in serial narratives. What made you think of nightmares like this?
I guess because I'm one of those people who breathe through my mouth at night when I sleep, and mouth breathers actually have a propensity for dreaming more than people who breathe through their noses. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard of that, as a matter of fact. So, Nemesis, is this telling a story of adventure?
I think almost every poem of the collection, and there are many different authors involved, I would say each one of them involves a different kind of monster, and therefore, I think adventures follow monsters.
All right. Bree?
Who has inspired you to write poetry?
I would have to say I found a poem on my grandmother's kitchen table, and she had written it in pen, and it was I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, and I'll never forget seeing that there every day of my childhood, and I thought she had written it until I was in high school and saw it in our textbook and realized that William Wordsworth had actually written the poem that my grandmother, that I thought my grandmother had written. So I thought I inherited my ability to write poetry from my grandmother, but apparently not. Apparently I had that all on my own.
How do you feel knowing that people are reading your books?
I think it's a great opportunity to have an audience. And I think that whatever you feel about an audience, it's that necessary part of being an author that just completes the circle, I guess.
How did you come up with the name Monsterverse?
The original title for the anthology was going to be called Monstrous Verse, and we were going to deal with every monster of all periods from all nationalities of all times, me and Tony Barnstone. We had hundreds of poems stacked up, and it was about 500 poems, and we were going to have to cut it down to 250, which is the publisher's requirement of size. But we said, can we do a bigger anthology? And they said, why don't we do two anthologies? And so we decided to break them up by monsters that had bodies and monsters that didn't have bodies. So the first one, Dead and Undead Poems, are incorporeal monsters. Ghosts, devils, angels, things that don't really have human form. And then the second book was all monsters that had bodies. So beasts, serial killers, aliens, and those sort of things. So that's what happened. That's how it became Monsterverse.
That's actually very interesting to yes. know how it did that.
Very. In both of your books, which ones would you say was the longest, and which one would you say is the shortest of your poems?
Of my own poems, my poem in Dead and Undead Poems, which is about a deer with a deformed antler, that's Aries at Mulley Manor, and that's a little longer than the poem that's in the other book. That's From Hell, Mr. Lusk, which is a serial killer poem.
What came to mind while you were writing any of these poems?
Actually, I wasn't thinking about monsters when I wrote the deformed deer poem. I was just thinking about the deer family that lived in my backyard in Ashland, Oregon. and we had a mama and two baby twins. And once in a while, a buck would limp into the yard, and he had a sort of deformed foot. And we had another buck that would come with a deformed antler, and we called him Antler Boy. And I was thinking about my husband, Derek Dew, and he had such an affinity for these deer that they would actually come up and eat out of his hand. So that poem is really about him being listening for the deer and taking care of the deer and them being so gentle and curious about him. And then in the other poem, I think it's in Dead and Undead Poems, that was actually a Jack the Ripper poem. And that was definitely a monster poem from the very beginning. The assignment that I had in college and grad school was to write a poem that we set something in Dante's Inferno, one of the circles of hell in Dante's Inferno. And I decided to choose Jack the Ripper. And even though he did all of his murdering in the 1800s in England, I decided to transplant him back in time to the 14th century and put him in that poem. And what happened was I chose the very last murder that he did, where a horse was the witness when he killed a prostitute. And the little list in the poem is whatever was in the prostitute's pockets. It was a very haunting project for me. And I will tell you that I had nightmares that he was following after me as I was working on that poem. So that was probably the scariest poem that I ever wrote and the scariest process I ever had.
It sounds very scary, as I can tell.
Very.
From what you have said.
I'd probably have nightmares about that too. What is the hardest, what would you say is the hardest thing about writing poetry?
The hardest thing about writing poetry is the business end. It's actually sending it out, paying the money to enter the contests, keeping track of where you've sent your manuscripts. The delight is actually in the writing of the poems, but the marketing and the sales and the dealing with publishers is the hardest part.
Do you have any connections to any of the poems in Monsterverse and Dead and Undead?
I have particular connections with I have a particular affinity with the Robert Louis Stevenson poem and Dead and Undead poems. Another influence on me as a child was Robert Louis Stevenson and his work. And his ghost poem I did not know until I was working on this anthology. And it's a very haunting poem to me. And it's about considering your own death. And I have a particular affinity for it. I also have a particular affinity for the Charles Harper Webb poem about the parents of a couple of boys who were killed and they turned their house into a haunted house the next year. It's a very poignant poem, I think. And then one more I'll talk about is the James Tate poem about an alien. And James Tate has a sense of humor and his poem is funny and sad and wonderful. And he had just died when I was giving a reading around Halloween this past year, and I decided I would read his poem because of in honor of him. And so I have a really strong connection to that poem.
Aww.
That's very sweet.
And sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself writing more books in about 10 years?
Oh, I see myself writing my books, I hope, sooner than that. I've just finished a book called Buck Radius, which is about teaching geometry, and I am starting a new manuscript called Six's River Fire, which is about animal-human transformation poetry, and I'm working with my husband on a children's book called Three Cats in the Green Truck.
That title is very interesting, wouldn't you think, Josie?
Sounds cute.
It does.
In the poem The Ghosts, they tell of the Indian Hiawatha. Why? Do you know if there's a special thing linked between said Indian and poetry?
Oh, absolutely. I think the early American ghosts were, of course, ghosts of Native Americans. And so we had to include this really important ghost poem in this collection to commemorate all the Native Americans who died on American soil. And so that's an important one.
In your introduction to Dead and Undead, what exactly did you want to make out of it?
I wanted to sort of set people at ease that this is poetry about monsters, but it's about the drama of the monster. It's meant to sort of get you into the mindset of thinking about all the possibilities for ghosts, and not just the scaring of ghosts, but ghosts as a metaphor for our own lives and our own pasts and the people who've been close to us. So I think there's as much poignancy in these poems as there is scare.
Depraved cogitation, I believe. Why about teenage boys having zombie girlfriends? What made you think of teenage boys with zombie girlfriends?
Well, I think I chose that poem. The writer is a good friend of mine. And I think he was just trying to point out what's always true about zombie literature or television or Walking Dead is that there's always the absurd. I mean, you can't have a zombie in a poem or a TV show or a movie. It's not always truly terrifying. There's always that absurd notion of someone who's falling apart, who's walking down the street. And that's the grotesque, which you have to include in a monster anthology.
In Dead and Undead, do you see any of that in Walking Dead?
I think all the elements of horror to do with the life on this side and the life on the other side of the veil is included in the drama that we see on TV. And the shows like Supernatural and Charmed, and there are so many now, Walking Dead. It seems like people are dramatizing, probably because of Twilight and because of J.K. Rowling, all the possibilities for the supernatural that are everybody's trying to embrace all the possibilities for what's happening in our world.
I know in Twilight that the vampires actually do not sparkle. They act, in real vampires, they burn when they hit sunlight.
You have a poem titled Zombies. What exactly made you think of zombies besides all of these TV shows?
I'd say probably the writer just knew that this is like the hottest monster nowadays. It's just the hottest, trendiest monster, and probably an audience appeal as well. I mean, sometimes you write poetry because you know your readers are going to enjoy it as much as you enjoyed writing it, and I think that's probably true of zombies.
Mm-hmm. Monsters I've Met. Were you trying to tie in all the poems here?
Well, I would say that poem being included in the collection is definitely sort of a reprisal of everything that's going on, and I think you're right. I think it serves as a sort of overview, if you will.
Do you have a role model in the poetry world?
Yeah, I have a wonderful teacher, Donald Revell, and I just was able to see him in Los Angeles at a writing conference. So yeah, he's my teacher, he's my role model, and he helps me figure out what I'm going to do next.
How long did it take you to get your books published?
It took me, for my very first book, Circassian Girl, it took about 5 years from the writing of it to the sending of it out to win the Elixir Poetry Prize. For Imago Mundi, Elixir picked that up a couple of years after I started it. And for the two anthologies, fortunately, Tony Barnstone had already published with Everyman Press at Random House. And so he was able to contact an editor there. And we got a response fairly quickly on this project. But from start to finish, it took us about 6 or 7 years to put the collections together and get them published.
Do you have a favorite person who writes poetry / poems, and why?
I think my favorite person who writes poems right now is my husband, who studied with me 10 years ago, and now we're together in a romantic relationship, and we're able to share our poetry with each other. So he's my favorite.
Was it hard choosing the poems for Dead and Undead?
Very hard. because you have your favorites. You have your Edgar Allan Poe and your Robert Frost and your Emily Dickinson, poems that you already know about. And then there are all the ones you didn't know about by those similar authors, and just hundreds and hundreds of authors. So I had poems stacked up around me for 6 years. Stacks and stacks of hundreds of poems about every monster of all time. Very difficult.
Do you have any certain author that you believe nobody has hardly heard of that has written poetry?
Oh, yeah, there are many of them. One of them, she had a book published, but she died shortly after her first book was published. She was my best friend in graduate school, Pam McClure, and she has a poem in one of these collections about Hansel and Gretel. And so I feel like she's not as well known as she should be. She's just a tremendous poet.
I know that you do teach geometry at BHSS. Do you say any of your poems in the class?
Well, you know, it's funny. I wrote an entire manuscript on geometry, and I haven't really shared very many of these poems this year, and I probably should. But they have sort of a sense of humor about them that I think could be appreciated, so I probably should share them more.
Do you enjoy being a geometry teacher plus a writer?
I love being a geometry teacher because it's very like poetry to me. It makes the abstract concrete, and which is the same thing that a poem can do. This poem is by a friend of mine, Gary Young, who lives in Santa Cruz, California. And it's called, I Last Saw My Mother. I last saw my mother a week after her suicide, in a dream. She was so shy. She was only there a moment. I'd called her stupid. How could you be so stupid? 8 years later, she's back. What do you want? I ask. What do you really want? I want to sing, she says. And she sings. I'll read a Robert Frost ghost poem called Ghost House. I dwell in a lonely house I know that vanished many summer ago and left no trace but the cellar walls and a cellar in which the daylight falls. And the purple-stemmed wild raspberries grow, or ruined fences the grapevine shield. The woods come back to the mowing field. The orchard tree has grown one copse of new wood and old where the woodpecker chops. The footpath down to the well is healed. I dwell with a strangely aching heart in that vanished abode there far apart, on that disused and forgotten road that has no dust bath now for the toad. Night comes, the black bats tumble and dart. The whippoorwill is coming to shout and hush and cluck and flutter about. I hear him begin far enough away, full many a time to say his say before he arrives to say it out. It is under the small dim summer star. I know not who these mute folk are who share the unlit place with me. Those stones out under the low limb tree doubtless bear names that the mosses mar. They are tireless folk, but slow and sad, though two, close keeping, are lass and lad, with none among them that ever sings, and yet, in view of how many things, as sweet companions as might be had.
Well, now okay. Joining us, we have Megan McCurdy, and she's going to be reading poems that she wrote. So, take it away, Meg.
So this poem that I'm reading, it was a poem that Dr. Faust recommended that we do for our creative writing class, and I am taking things from my bedroom, and I'm placing them in different places so I understand where I have them. I take my bed, and I move it to a beach house, and the ocean surrounds it. I take this clotted ring, and I place it in the middle of Ireland. The vines grow around it. The vines are pretty and long. I take this wonderful smell of a rose and place it in the river and watch it float down the river. It is gone when it hits the falls. I take and place my window in Scotland. When I look out my window, I see Scotland. It smells like a rose. The air feels cold. I need a sheep for a jacket. I wish I could take myself to Salem so I can say bye to my grandma. I never had a chance to say bye to her. I take my music and I put it in my window. People hear it and say, wow, good country music. I say, thank you. I take my math, I throw it in the air, and away it went.
That was a very good poem, Meg.
It's very pretty.
Thanks. So, the wind check is cold and freezing. My name, Megan, is special to me. There's a swimming hole we swim in. My grandma Lois picked my name. So it runs off a mountain. It runs smooth when it doesn't rain. It has special meaning to me. And it has fish, crawdads, and water skippers. She passed away 5 years ago in 2011. It's clear when it's not raining.
Very pretty.
Very.
Question to her, stopped by a sinkhole. Where did you come from? How far is it from here? Have you ever seen anything like this before? Did you expect it to be here when you got here? Can you guess how big it is? Can you guess how it was caused and when it happened? Do you know what company is fixing it? Do you know it is going to cost $4 million to fix the sinkhole? Did you know you can take pictures of it? Did you know if you cross the fence line, you will get in trouble? Can you guess how they drained the water out of it? Did you see it on the news? Did you know it was declared an emergency? Did you know the sinkhole caused the restaurant to close? Do you think the detour is good to use to get around the sinkhole? Have you seen any accidents? Did you rethink about coming to see it? Where are you staying? Can you guess how many people are working on it? Do you have family who lives here? Did you know workers from John Day, Oregon came to help? Did you know there was a 20-foot barrier of pitch? Do you have family who lives near this or away from it? Did you know there is a tube in the road in one of the sinkholes? Did you know it is scary to drive near? Did you watch the video of the sinkhole? Did you hear the tree snapping in the video? Did you know they are still trying to find the culvert pipe? Did you know they are working 12-hour shifts? Did you know they are filling it with rock? Did you know it looks like a crater now? Did you know it is in the paper? Did you know they started work early every day? Did you know they open one of the northbound lanes is open? Did you know that there is a Facebook page with information about it? Did you know it is going to take a while to fix?
I did not know how much it was going to cost to fix that sinkhole.
Yeah.
It's been going on for, I think, months.
Almost exactly 4 months now.
Wow. And it's gotten better. I just saw it the other day.
And we can thank Tidewater for that.
Oh, that's amazing. I think now we should ask some questions about them.
Okay.
Yeah, Meg, what exactly, why did you want to make a poem about a sinkhole that we have here?
It interested me because I was keeping up on it, and then my mom actually works with the company, so I kind of got updates about it, and I watched everything they did, and when they started it kind of inspired me to write a poem about it because it was a big tourist attraction for us.
Do you like writing poetry?
I love writing it. It is like a stress reliever for me, and when I am stressed, that is what I do.
When did you start writing poetry?
I started writing poetry about 3-4 years ago now.
Did you start writing it like around the time that your grandma passed?
No, it's before my grandma passed. I started writing it in actually 2012, and then I just kept going from there, and I did it even my freshman year of high school as well.
Did it help you cope with what's going on here at BHHS, like the bullying and things like that?
It helped me cope better because it was something I could escape from and be out of.
I can understand that.
So can I. I think here's kind of better than where I moved from.
Same.
A lot better.
You guys want to sign off and then move on?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Brianna App.
And this is Josie Vital. This was Powerful Poetry.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Content for this program was provided by the Brookings Harbor High School with student and parent or guardian permission and the approval of school administration.